we continue with some of the voices, some of the speakers from the Liberty Voga Knowledge Summit. Yesterday, when I was facilitating, I got to sit in the audience and listen to Kimberly Bryant. She is the founder and executive director of Black Girls Code, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to changing the face of technology by introducing young girls of color to the field of technology and computer science. And she was also listed as one of the most one of the 25 most influential African American women, or rather African Americans in technology. And she joins us now to look at Black Girls Code and just the experience and the road that she has traveled. Good afternoon, Kimberly.
Good afternoon, Azania.
How are you enjoying this conference?
I am. I'm really just blown away by all the speakers and the knowledge that they've been able to share. It's been really amazing.
Absolutely. Now, your own journey was absolutely fascinating in the sense that for you to realize and create Black Girls Code, things kind of came back in full circle. Your experience mirrored in your daughter's experience.
Yes.
So let's start off with your coming up, mm-hmm. because you are an engineer, mm-hmm. You didn't find it so easy. It didn't come so easy getting into this career.
Absolutely. I spoke about this yesterday in my presentation. I grew up in an urban neighborhood where there weren't really role models for me that could show me that this was a possible career path. And I just kind of luckily ended up, studying engineering. And it was very difficult. It was very difficult from a curriculum and the rubrics that I had to learn. But it was also difficult just being one of the only women and one of the only Black women, along this path. And it was a bit of a full circle moment, as you mentioned, when 20 plus years later I see my daughter potentially following in my footsteps, and really concerning for me as a mom to not have her have some of the similar struggle that I did.
Yes. So what were those challenges? What did you encounter in the classroom, or the attitudes that were prevalent?
Well, I really had a sense of isolation, and I did not really feel welcomed in many of those spaces. There were a few, bright lights throughout my college career where professors really reached out to me and made an effort to help me be successful, but those were rare. And even in my peer group and the other students, they were just not welcoming. They did not really see me as even capable in many ways or worthy of being in the same room.
Yes.
And that was extremely hard, and especially at such a pivotal moment as a young person trying to figure out even who I was.
Yes.
And so that, I think for me, is what really makes the work that we're doing even more important, because I hope we'll encourage more girls to really get in the tech and also follow this pathway to college so that they can create their own communities and
Absolutely.
Really support each other.
Your story reminds me of a documentary called The Color of Wine, I should say, The Color of Wine.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells the story of four sommeliers, Black sommeliers, and the road they traveled towards mm-hmm. becoming these winemakers.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You walk into the classroom, the curriculum is in Afrikaans, and on top of that, people are not engaging with you. They
mm-hmm.
overlook you. They don't include you mm-hmm. in the activities. People would gather over the weekends and have parties
mm-hmm.
or go for drinks after school, and you would be left out,
yeah.
And so it made that college experience, it thickens your skin on the one hand,
mm-hmm.
but also on the other hand, it just makes you realize that you are entering a career that is not perhaps ready. You're not going to enter it and be met with smiles.
Absolutely. And I think, you're spot on, is that it thickened my skin a lot, but it also could have broken me. So,
yes.
And I think that's the reason why change is needed, because everybody is not going to have that same level of resiliency or that same grit, so to speak. And that's why me as a mom, that's exactly why I did this, because I was like, oh no, my daughter, she did not grow up in the urban neighborhood. No, she really had a bit of a privileged childhood and upbringing, which was great for me to be able to provide that as a mom, but it was also concerning because she didn't perhaps have the same level of readiness or that thick skin, so to speak.
No, growing up tough makes you tough.
Yeah, she's, as to me, in my perception, I felt that perhaps she may not be able to kind of push through. Mm. And I wanted that to happen.
So she took an immediate interest in technology, in gaming. And you saw that this is something you'd have to nurture in her.
Yeah.
And that's how she got into coding.
Yeah, so she really was, you know, followed me around and went to work with me ever since she was a baby. You know, I would just bring her into work and she would soak it all in. But she did not really kind of put two and two together that this was something she wanted to do herself.
Yes.
Until she was about 10 or 12.
Right.
And that's when she really started to get, you know, heavily engaged in technology and computer gaming and really see that as a potential career.
And what was she meant, or she had the same experience getting into coding?
Well, she had a similar experience when she started to learn it in a more traditional setting.
Yes.
So when she went to a summer program and found that, you know, in this room of 40, 50 students, she was the only girl and, you know, the only student of color, she experienced some of the similar isolation that I did, you know, back in college.
Right.
And I think it would, I don't know that she had a name for it. I don't know if she could really call it, but she felt it, right? And she was able to verbalize how she felt. And that was what, you know, really made my heart break a little bit, because I wanted her to not give up.
Yes.
Before she even got started, you know, I wanted her to do something that she loved, and so I had to figure out how to make that possible.
And you created then Black Girls Code.
Yes.
Which has a South African chapter, Johannesburg chapter.
Yes. 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 So I created it, and you know, if you ask her, she doesn't think it was created for her, but it really was.
Mother's love.
And it's expanded beyond that. But we also, you know, we're really fortunate to have a partner here in Joburg to take our idea and run with it here in South Africa, which has been fantastic, because we see some of the same issues and the same creativity in the girls that are here in Johannesburg as the girls that are in East Oakland, California.
Yeah.
And I think that's really a beautiful thing to witness and see how technology transforms, whether it's in San Francisco, California, or in Johannesburg, South Africa.
So what is the objective?
The objective is really to introduce these girls to everything that the computer technology industry has to offer. Not necessarily to designate that they go into computer science as a career, but perhaps they will. But we just want them to be very comfortable with using technology and being creative with technology in a way that would allow them to use it to advance their careers, advance their ideas in whatever area that they choose to go into.
Right.
Yeah.
It's largely being seen as a language, a new language.
Yes.
And a language that we, as many of us, need to be proficient in, especially our children. They need to be proficient in coding as much as possible. Why is it important?
Well, it's important because technology touches everything. You know, technology touches media. Technology touches fashion. It touches art. It touches the healthcare field and medicine. So I really can't think of many careers that it doesn't have an impact on. So that's why it's so critically important, because we want to not limit our kids, boys or girls, in whatever they choose to do in the future. But if this is one of the major tools that they'll be using in their profession, whatever it is, we need to make sure they know how to use it. And, and I think that's really what our work is about, is not saying that we're necessarily pushing folks into technology, but enabling them to have access to a very powerful tool that could aid them in really bringing their dreams to life.
Yes, absolutely. And for the younger generation, it is something that it will, by having it, by having these skills, they're better equipped. You know, and we were talking earlier to John Sinead about the rapid pace of change that we're going through. So you might even find that we're preparing them for something that they might not even need when they get to the tertiary education or even into the working world. There'll be something else then that
Absolutely.
They need as a skill.
Absolutely. But I think one of the things that we often lose when we talk about teaching kids about computer science and technology is that we're really teaching them computational thinking skills. That's the underlying core and foundation of computer science. And that is a skill that you can use every day. That's a skill into learning how to break down a problem into all of its many different parts until you can figure out the solution that you can use on a day-to-day when you're walking home from school.
Yes.
So I think that is the most powerful element of this technique, is really teaching our kids how to think, problem solve for themselves, and really help them to be able to navigate life. And that's what's really going to get them the most I think in terms of the furthest in terms of being able to survive is this ever-changing pace. Because
yes.
if you teach them this today, it'll change. But because they know how to learn and they know how to figure out a problem to the steps, they can move with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. One of the things that moved you, that touched you, was the fact that, yes, they were learning how to code as part of the program, but there were other skills that they ended up developing as a result of that.
Yes. 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 I think the thing that really continues to blow me away and also give me such inspiration is how the girls are becoming self-confident young women. So I guess I expected that in a way, but I did not necessarily think that it would really empower them as leaders. So seeing the girls come into these spaces and be able to speak up and share their ideas and actually be able to verbalize while it's important for them to have a seat at the table has just been amazing to witness. Like, they will, for sure, utilize this as a platform to become, you know, the next generation of leaders. I'm confident of that because I see them blossoming and growing every single day.
Yeah, and there's so many settings where women are, I don't want to say compromised per se, but where we are judged harshly and undermined, whether it is in the corporate world or in settings such as when you were learning, when your daughter was learning. It's almost become acceptable and it's the norm that we undermine women and therefore we fail to allow them to unleash their potential. So some might criticize and say why a learning program strictly for girls, firstly because the South African chapter is of girls of all races, but in the US the chapter is Black Girls Code, it's very black girls. Some might say why do that, but there is something that happens, right? Something that blossoms that might not have blossomed had it been in a mixed setting.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that really is the secret piece of Black Girls Code is they get to come into a community of their peers and have an opportunity to have no judgment, right? To actually be their full selves. And I don't think we as black women, and certainly black girls, we don't get that on an everyday basis. Even in our traditional school settings, they often experience some trauma at times.
Yes.
And so I really want to make sure that when they come to a class at BGC, they can just relax. They don't have to fear that anyone is going to judge them, they're going to be bullied, that they can just be who they are.
Yeah.
And if we can just create that space, I understand it's not an everyday reality. I understand that totally. But I think if we can create that alternate reality just for a piece of their day, it's enough to get them through the next day and the next and the next.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Kimberly, you gave such a moving and uplifting speech, and I think it gave a lot of people inspiration on what they can do in their own communities. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much as well.
That is the founder and executive director of a nonprofit organization called Black Girls Code. You can also find it in Johannesburg. If you want more information, you can find them on blackgirlscode.com. That's where you can find out more about Kimberly, the work that she does, and of course the organization and what they're doing here in Johannesburg.